Michael's intellectual project had to do with what Lionel Trilling referred to as the sentiment of being, about the kind of person one wishes to be and about the way they wish others to be. That is about morality and their politics. Michael found the most eloquent expressions of the sentiments of being in story because it takes the fullest and most precise accounts of variousness, possibility, complexity, and difficulty. It would be impossible to entirely separate Michael's intellectual project from his extensive reading and immersion in the thinking of Foucault. Let me read you a quote from the philosopher Philip Caputo in a book chapter about Michel Foucault in which he guesses what kind of therapist Foucault might have been, given that he had no explicit therapeutic intentions whatsoever throughout his philosophical career. But remember, his first degree was in psychology, and he did an internship in a public psychiatric institute in the 1950s in France. Caputo writes, such a therapy, that is if Michel Foucault had invented one, does not look at the mad as patients in the sense of objects of medical knowledge, but as patients, as ones who suffer greatly, who suffer from their knowledge. Such a patient would not be an object of knowledge, but an author or subject of knowledge, one from whom we have something to learn. Caputo then went on to surmise that for Foucault as a therapist, the healing gesture meant to heal this suffering is not intended to explain it away or fill in the abyss, but simply to affirm that they are not alone, that our common madness is a matter of degree, that we're all siblings in the same night of truth. The healing gesture is not to explain madness, if that means to explain it away, but to recognize it as a common fate, to affirm our community and solidarity. Couldn't that equally well be written as a description of Michael's therapy and his work? What I believe Michael's intellectual project concerned itself about more than anything else was what Bauman referred to as the irresistible individualism of the times we live in. Let me leave that out. Michael, I'm trying to be on time. Michael countered this with a kind of post-psychological imagination. The imagination that was written about 50 years ago by C. Wright Mills called the sociological imagination. That is, one in which private troubles are to be contextualized in public and cultural matters. Michael's project will always live on in narrative therapy as it is so integral to it. The last matter Michael and I discussed was a paper by the anthropologist Nancy Shepherd Hughes. He immediately asked me to email him a PDF of it. In many ways, it serves as an epitaph for his intellectual project, for Michael truly was a compañero, a comrade to all those he knew. In reading this quote, I'm going to take the liberty of changing the words anthropologist and anthropology to therapist and therapy. The therapist can view her subjects as unspeakably other, belonging to another time, another world altogether. But if it is to be in the nature of an ethical project, the work of therapy requires a different set of relationships. In minimalist terms, this might be described as the difference between the therapist as spectator and the therapist as witness. If observation links therapy to the natural sciences, witnessing links therapy to moral philosophy. Observation, the therapist as a fearless spectator, is a passive act which positions the therapist above and outside human events as a neutral and objective seeing eye. Witnessing, the therapist as compañera, as comrade, is the active voice, and it positions the therapist inside human events as a responsive, reflexive, and morally pivoted being, one who will take sides and make judgments, though this flies in the face of therapy not engagement with either ethics or politics. Of course, non-involvement was in itself an ethical and moral position. Michael truly was a comrade.